InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
One expert calls it a crisis in the making for American women, with possible heart health setbacks and a surge in obesity, expected to impact women in the decades ahead. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Karen Joint Maddox, Professor of Medicine and Public Health and Co-Director of the Center for Advancing Health Services, Policy, and Economics Research at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Doctor, the report shows that by the year 2050, 6 in 10 U.S. women could have high blood pressure, up from 5 in 10 currently, and nearly a third of women ages 22 to 44 will have some type of cardiovascular disease, up from the current one-fourth. What might be causing this upswing in cases?
You know, we know that cardiovascular disease remains the number one killer among women. And so really, these trends are continuing what we've known for some time, which is to say that the rates of cardiovascular risk factors, particularly hypertension, as you know, just keep going up and are really reaching alarming levels among U.S. women. That probably comes from a lot of factors. It comes from the things that we eat. It comes from sleep and exercise and all of the things that we do in our day-to-day lives. But collectively, as a society, we certainly aren't seeing ourselves get any healthier in terms of those cardiovascular risk factors.
And even children are in the mix here, as nearly one in three girls ages 2 to 19 may have obesity by 2050. How does a 2-year-old become obese?
Well, that's a great question. We're seeing obesity rise across the range of ages for young girls, certainly lower in 2-year-olds than in teenagers, but a big problem nonetheless. It's really our eating habits and our lack of physical activity, and that starts young. It starts in how people learn to eat, and we're so surrounded by very processed foods and by sugars and by all of these things that are really unhealthy to our bodies, that we're starting to see rates of obesity really reach alarming levels among girls.
And hasn't previous separate research shown that boys' rates of cardiovascular disease are projected to rise due to some of the same factors affecting girls?
That's exactly right. These are not things that are specific to women. Some of the biology is different among women, of course, but we're seeing these changes across the life course in boys and girls, in men and women. It's really a broad problem. It's not just about individuals making choices or about one demographic group or one age group. It's really pretty broad. And when we see that so broadly, it makes us really think that we need broad change if we're going to actually turn those numbers in the other direction.
What do you think is needed for people to perhaps take this issue more seriously? Because certainly some do, but it's something we hear a lot and maybe people are just tuning it out.
I think that's right. I think the changes have been pretty insidious. So if you look back at pictures from the 70s and 80s, people were much thinner. You know, obesity and this rise in hypertension that goes with it, the rise in diabetes that go with it, the rise in cardiovascular disease that goes with it. These are pretty recent phenomena. We haven't changed genetically in the past, 30 to 50 years, but we really have changed in terms of what we eat and how we live, just bit by bit by bit. And I think if you look day to day, not much changes. Year to year, not much changes. But when you take that 30,000 foot view like we did in this report, you start to see that all those little changes add up to some pretty big numbers when it comes to these cardiovascular risk factors.
So let's dive into the details a little bit here. Women of certain races or ethnicities, I understand, are more at risk than others?
Yes, definitely. So there are a number of prior research studies as well as ours suggesting that, for example, Black women in particular have very high rates of high blood pressure and also high rates of obesity. People who report being from more than one racial group, which is actually the fastest growing group, also have significant increases in high blood pressure and obesity. And because those things then track on to cardiovascular disease, particularly things like heart failure and atrial fibrillation, we see higher rates in those groups as well. So it really does vary across race and ethnicity, though I will say that no group is spared. Again, this is a pretty broad problem, but there are groups that are affected more than others.
We're visiting with Dr. Karen Joint Maddox with the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. This concerns an American Heart Association report projecting increases in cardiovascular disease among U.S. females. The journal Circulation published the report. Doctor, let's return to the children. With certain health factors that contribute to cardiovascular disease, like obesity, as you mentioned, increasing in girls, what would you recommend to parents listening to this show to keep their girls healthy?
I think it's to recognize that we have a responsibility both at home and within schools to try to keep our kids healthy. Kids spend a lot of their day at school. And so understanding what they're getting to eat at school, if they're having school lunches, what kind of snacks they're getting, that's really important. And then setting a good example for eating at home, following healthy dietary guidelines, making sure half of your plate is fruits and vegetables, you know, really trying to set a good example and try to stay away from the temptation to listen to the noise, the media, the advertisements telling us that we have to give our kids super sugary, highly processed snacks that come in crazy colors and are shaped like cartoon characters. Certainly some of that as a treat is fine, but we need our kids and ourselves to be eating whole foods, fruits and vegetables, things that are nourishing and healthy and not just sugar bombs, which is unfortunately so much of what kids' food is these days.
And isn't a message as the one you just gave competing with the messages of unhealthy eating from influencers online?
All the time. And that's why this is a broad problem. And that's why we don't just see it in one group, but we really do see it. Girls, boys, men, women, every group is increasing in terms of obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes. And it's pushing back against that noise and trying to find a way to resist some of those things. The marketing companies know how to drive our dopamine to get our perfect response to the colors and the sounds and the tastes. But they're driving us to consume more and more and more. They're not driving us toward health. So we need to have a counter message. We need to think about what that looks like to say, no, I'm going to prioritize my health, even though it's hard. I'm going to go out and take a walk. I'm going to try to have a banana instead of fruit snacks or something like that, to try to say that your health matters. And we want people to stay around and be healthy for a long time. And these are the little things that we can individually try to do to make ourselves healthier.
When it comes to the new weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy and the others, do you have an opinion as to whether they can be a useful tool in fighting cardiovascular disease?
I do think they're a useful tool. I think we're just in the infancy of understanding how to use them. As you can imagine, out of the gate, the drug companies are trying to make them as powerful as possible. And for people who have 100 or 200 pounds to lose, those are life-saving, life-altering drugs. For a lot of people who may have more mild forms of obesity, obviously some of those drugs are just intolerable. They're so strong. But we're learning much more about different dosing, about how one might adjust doses for women versus men, for older people versus younger people, for maintenance versus initiation. There's so much more to come in this space. And, you know, my opinion is that as we learn how to think about how these drugs can treat obesity, it's actually going to teach us a lot about how we consume food, how we exercise. It's going to make us think about those things differently. And I hope they can be part of a broader shift towards health. They're not the only thing we need. We cannot medicate ourselves out of this, but they are a crucial tool to help us get in the right direction.
Doctor, what would you like to see policymakers do as a result of all this information that your group is generating?
Two things. I think I'd like to see policymakers take food quality more seriously. Food in schools, food advertising. There's a lot of food policy that I think could help make us healthier. The other thing I'd like to see is for our health systems to start thinking more about prevention. Right now, health systems get paid when people get sick, and we don't put very much money and investment into thinking about keeping people healthy. And that's where we need to really rethink things. We've done a remarkable job of increasing survival among people who have heart attacks because we have new technologies, we have these great systems of care, we have checklists, we have guidelines, and yet we're not preventing the heart attacks in the first place. And we need our health systems and maybe our policymakers to nudge our health systems to really start thinking about taking all of that innovative energy and now turning it toward preventing those events in the first place.
Dr. Karen Joint Maddox with the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
Next, can using AI harm your reputation? That story as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.